Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. I'm here. I'm in the building. I'm so excited. This is the episode you have all been waiting for. It is Riverdale. We're here to talk about the Midnight Club. Yes, it's a reference to a super sweet 80s film, and this episode was full of all of the greatest references in the world. We can't wait to break the whole thing down for you guys. We'll see you in just one quick second.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
All right.
Sing it, Ben.
Sing it.
We're here, guys. We're back. It's exciting. This was great intro music and a great episode. I'm so excited to see your faces. I'm back with you guys.
I know.
It's been weeks, at least.
It's like we're three members of the Breakfast Midnight Club.
Feels that way, yeah.
You know, but we're still alive, so that's good.
It's kind of like, it's a little bit like Destiny's Child, and Frank is Beyonce, and he's been off gallivanting. And we're the other two members of Destiny's Child who periodically show up, but, you know, we're not really...
Oh, well, I'm definitely Michelle.
Then. Oh, you know the names. Okay, so I'm officially the worst member of Destiny's Child, as we just established.
Yes.
I don't know. But we're back, and we're here to talk about Riverdale. It's exciting. We've been waiting for this episode for seasons. We have the whole flashback episode. We got to see the whole cast play their parents, right? I mean, I feel like there's just too much to break down, guys.
Well, let's give up, guys. It was a good show. All right. Yeah. But, follow me on Twitter.
Okay. How many episodes? We have done, there's 30, this is 36, chapter 36, right?
Yes.
39.
Sorry, 39. So, I mean, we've been here for the majority of those. We have been talking about an episode like this since the first season. So I kind of think they might have been listening to our podcast and took our idea, and I'm so grateful.
It does feel that way, yeah.
But I do like that we finally get what we've been asking and speculating about for the longest time. But Sam says, this is nice fan fiction. It doesn't jive with what I thought happened back then.
Right.
So I discount this whole episode. It's a fun to watch, but it means nothing to me.
It's like it was a dream.
Sam, the talented writer on the show. I want to introduce my panel here, though. I'm going to start on the far end. We got Happy Go Jackie, Frank Moran in the house. How you doing, man?
Better now that you're here. You know, that's a big seat to fill. And, you know, only somebody of your stature and your handsomeness could fill
Thank
that.
You. I appreciate that. Sam D, back in the house. We're all together. It's exciting. We haven't been together, like, the three of us.
I mean, know.
I don't even know who the four of us is now, but the three of us at least.
It's just sad. But, yes, no. The three of us, we are a team now. We are here through and through all the games, the violence, the changes in storylines, and, you know, just all the love. So, glad to be here with all you guys.
Excellent. Guys, and I am Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media, but we'll get into all of that later. Today, coming up on the show, Sam has some awesome news, which I'm going to be honest with you guys, I asked her specifically to not share with me her news so that I could be surprised actually on the show when she shares it. I felt that was the most exciting way to do this. There is so much to talk about. I mean, there's obviously just the casting choices for each of our old favorite Riverdale cast members, which is crazy. You have the concept that a bunch of high school kids would be like really, really hyped to play basically Dungeons and Dragons. I feel like that's a topic in itself because like there's just so much to break down. And then there's the bookend scenes, which are like Betty and her mom and kind of how this actually affects the modern day Riverdale, because the flashback episode is not entirely a flashback episode. So I think there's a lot to talk about there. Let's get into number one, and let's go with the D&D angle, because they decided to make this like it's legitimately Dungeons and Dragons. Like, have you played D&D, Sam, ever?
You know, I will say that I've never been asked, so no, I have not. I'm so sorry. I'm right. Sure you guys both have. I know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I never have.
Oh
no, I've I was given a set one time, but then it's like, but I had nobody to play with it, so I never really investigated it.
Yeah.
Didn't have any friends that were interested
in it. I'm sure you were just like devil worship. No, thank you.
Many years ago, I played in synagogue when I was 13 years old. I had a friend.
Oh, God.
He played, when I was a little kid.
At Temple.
Yeah, Temple, exactly. and then I don't think I ever played again. I've known a lot of people that have played it. It's really like kind of an evolved thing. It's gotten bigger and bigger recently in the last 3 or 4 years. It's really come back. But I think that's why it's in this episode.
You know? I guess, but I also feel like, and we talked a little bit about this last episode, when at the end of it, when the rule book starts popping up in everybody's lockers, But I was having, I'd be hard pressed to believe that everybody was going to get obsessed, which they tell us at the beginning of this episode. Everybody got sucked into playing this game. I'm like, really?
I'm like watching them all run around in like chainmail with like Viking hats and swords. And I'm like, I get it, guys. Like there's a role playing aspect of this that's exciting because like people die, but like, it's D&D. I'm an adult that like grew up in a time where this was a thing, and I know even saying the word, I got like stuffed in lockers. Like,
yes.
This was like not a thing that like the jocks wanted to do.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the younger generation than us, because we're vampires, we look great, but we are old AF.
Yeah.
So that was our Dungeons & Dragons. Everyone here is like, it's Pokemon Go. That's what the chat's saying.
No Pokemon Go. This was like a real tape. I mean, some of you guys know this, but like I'm like a legit established Magic the Gathering professional. That's my world.
Who doesn't know that?
I travel. I'm a Magic pro. I'm like, so like it's a very similar world. The same company makes both games. This is a world I'm pretty familiar with. And I got to tell you, the high school quarterback was not talking to me about what level elf he was. That's not.
Well, that is where, and I will continue to say it, and I don't care. There is some kind of other influence on these kids.
Well, of course, some sort of mystic devil worship influence.
Yes, some mystical, you know, I don't know if I'll say supernatural, but perhaps we'll get into that later. But whoa.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, certainly they have Hermione comes as the mayor and tells everybody, don't do this. I don't know if having an authority figure tell you not to do something would be motivation enough to make me want to do a game that I may not even really been interested in the first place.
Sure, sure.
So I don't know. That's the hardest part. I had to believe that everybody is obsessed with this. So that's my hard buy-in for this one.
So, okay, they all start finding, in the flashback, they all start finding the griffins and gargoyles. And it's spelled griffins with an O. Is that weird to you guys at all? Or no?
Are you sure?
Griffons.
Griffons?
I mean, I wrote it down here somewhere. I noticed on the thing. Yeah, G-R-Y-F-F-O-N-S. Griffins.
That's the fancy way. That's how they spell it in Riverdale.
Yeah,
that's their own language.
Griffins. and gargoyles. And so they all start, they get the manuals, and in the Breakfast Club, they get excited. Oh, yeah, it's a Breakfast Club episode.
Yes, this is. It is.
If you guys didn't catch the intro song there, that is the credits song from the movie The Breakfast Club, released in 1985. It's one of the all-time coming-of-age films. Written and directed by John Hughes, the last of his trio that he directed before Ferris Bueller. It's like one of the movies. And so, as we have seen time and time again with this show, they like to make direct references to pieces of pop culture that were important and make it their own.
Well, and they have referenced The Breakfast Club very, like, subtly throughout this entire thing, as does any other coming-of-age current teen programming. And if you guys are in high school,
the most famous,
like, that's okay, but I'm sure you've heard of it. And if you haven't, go watch it immediately.
It feels like basically, like, the other ones would be, like, Stand By Me, The Outsiders, maybe, like...
For guys, but this is... Think about the demographic
Mean
here.
Girls, like, I mean, there's... Yeah,
well,
there's
that's a lot later, but 16 Candles, it's all that Molly Ringwald stuff, which is ironic, because Molly Ringwald actually does play Archie's mother.
They also reference Heathers. I mean, there's, like, a handful of these movies.
Absolutely.
Breakfast Club is top of the list, so... so they all meet up in detention, and they get into Griffins and Gargoyles, and so here's the character names that we dealt with. So, here you go. Betty plays the thief... Yeah, Josie. This is their parents. So it's actually Alice playing the thief. Sierra plays the siren. F.P. Jones plays Deadeye. Did I catch that correctly?
Yeah.
He looks at it. He says Deadeye sick, right?
Yeah.
Didn't know sick was a late 80s, early 90s
sick
reference.
It's read rad, maybe? I have no idea.
Yeah. It looks like we got Fred Andrews playing the Radiant Knight. If you guys can refer to me as the Radiant Knight the rest of the episode, I'd be pleased. And then finally, one, two, three, four. There's a fifth. Was there not? Did I miss one?
Yes. Okay, hold on. Hermione is... Okay, we have Archie, Hope of Justice, Righteousness, F.P. Deadeye.
Oh, the Sorceress. There you go.
Betty, Sorceress, Veronica, Thief. Yes.
That's what it is. Yes. So that's our cast of five. And of course, Cheryl, who's Mother Penelope, she actually is playing... She plays the Game Master, which is traditionally referred to as a Dungeon Master, a DM, if you will. There for a GM here.
Oh, so the OG DM.
That's right.
Well, because you know how, you know, Riverdale is. Right?
Oh, I have a really inappropriate joke. I'm not going to make it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Excellent. Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. If you guys think about DM and Penelope as a grown-up, then just, you know, let me know.
Terrific. Oh. Like Game Boy is referred to here as Game Lad. We know that's like a thing that's Riverdale likes to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, since we mentioned Penelope last, is certainly her backstory, I did not realize was going to be as warped as it was.
Incestuous.
Did you notice there was only one scene where you see her with braces? All the rest of the scenes, it seems like her upper lip's closed, but there's one scene where her braces are clearly front and center.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's so weird. Because, like, giving her fake braces for this role, you would think they would stand out more times than the – did you feel the same way? There was, like, literally one scene where I was like, oh, she has braces now. And then not a single other time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's just because Madeline, like, did not – she's like, no more the freaking braces. I don't know what else to tell you guys. I'm not wearing them. That's honestly what I thought, because it didn't really make sense.
Fair.
Okay. So, like, she got hot after. I mean, she's always beautiful. Obviously, Madeline's beautiful, but you know what I'm saying.
Excellent. So, yeah, this is I think it's pretty much what's going on, is that we had effectively a D&D clone, Griffins and Gargoyles. You know, we have a lot of crazy people dying. I got to ask you guys, so if the principal, Featherhead, he dies, he falls out of a closet, the whole entire idea of this episode is based on the idea that there were multiple deaths based on their commitment to the occult, to this game.
Yes.
And no one ever wanted to talk about it again because it was like, who was guilty? And also, people in the community died. They swore to never talk about it. It feels like they're pretty willing in the modern day to talk about issues that have, like, significant deaths and murders associated, that this, like, wouldn't be that big of a deal compared. I mean, maybe it's just modern day versus the old days, like, but, like, they're pretty clandestine over the fact that, like, 1.5 important people died.
It was, like, to see a few episodes. Yeah, to see a few episodes back when all the adults gathered together and they're like, you know, oh, man, we can't let, you know, we swore we would never talk about this with anybody. I felt like I was expecting something really crazy for this episode when we get to see what really happened. And I was kind of like, oh.
Like the old principal and Fred's sick dad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Fred's sick dad was just an unfortunate thing. Also, though, makes me worried once again about Fred's safety. I've always been like, oh, no, Fred's going to die. Fred's going to die. Hmm. But I think that the other part of it, it's like I wanted it to be I Know What You Did Last Summer. I mean, they killed someone with a car while they were driving drunk or something ridiculous. But, yeah, it was pretty removed from them, and it was obvious, and the only person that could see it truly was Alice, that they didn't – someone was trying to kill one of them. And who was it? And it had to have been one of them on both sides, though.
Well, I want to break down this Ascension Party real quick, because that's a whole big thing, is that they're all gathered there. Somebody invites everybody to the Ascension Party, and they even set out everything, the food, the drink, all the pieces that they need to be able to do this. And, of course, Penelope and Dilton's dad think it's each other that have set this up.
Right, right, right.
And so when we do see Alice go through, when everybody else has hopped up on those fizzy pops or fizzy pops,
yeah,
when she goes into the bathroom, there is such an elaborate amount of Flip for Your Fate written all over that bathroom. I'm just the practicality of the Gargoyle King,
right,
getting whoever it is, getting in there early, writing it all over the place. Then afterwards, going in to clean it all up. Because I imagine that all had to be cleaned up afterwards, because nobody mentions anything about it in the high school. Like, oh, man, did you see all the graffiti in the bathroom? Nobody mentions that. So that guy, like the mundaneness of that, like, all right, I got to get there and flip your fate, flip for your fate.
Right. I Know What You Did Last Summer, Sam?
Yeah. What about it?
He had a hook on his hand? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did have a hook on his hand. That wasn't my point, though. I mean, it was
Did he kill them all?
No, well, he killed most of them, yeah.
Who survives?
Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr., spoiler alert. Okay. Yeah, the two of them, but Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Felipe.
They die.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty brilliant deaths. But I will just say that I think with this specific villain or whatever the heck he is, I mean, he went and cleaned up, and it makes me think, then how did Hal get involved? And then the Black Hood, because that is not just random people. That storyline made no sense. And I'm really hoping that it ties into this gargoyle thing.
Fair. It's probably all Hal, but we'll find out as we go forward. Before we get into the next bit of the show, I know that Frank has something that he wants to share with all of you, the lovely listeners and viewers of the show.
That's true. You know, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. Reality TV, dramas, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve you, the television fans. And we've looked. We've looked high and low. There's nobody else. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube's going to suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. But if you're worried about any of those pesky notifications, you don't have to, because they're optional. So you just hit that subscribe button now and let us know you did in the comments. And not only is it going to let us know, but it's also going to suggest other AfterBuzz YouTube content as well, so you can try out other new shows, like Legacies. Right, Sam?
Oh, yeah. Gargoyles galore.
There you go. Now, let us also know you did in the comments. And you know what? Ben Bateman is going to find somebody out of those comments, and he's going to
Send him a shirtless selfie.
Yep, send him a shirtless selfie. Yep, there you go. He's going to be, stripping that body fat there, getting really lean, just sipping that water,
arching
and then
it up.
Get ready to go. But for now, though, thanks for being the best fans and helping us become the ESPN TV Talk.
Thanks
Frank. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Next question I have for you guys. What decade was this supposed to take place in? Not like logically, like how old they were, but like based on the designs, the music, the clothing, what year would you guess the flashback was supposed to be?
It seemed like early 90s. But then given like some of the touchstones that they were bringing out, I mean, I feel like Heathers came out late 80s.
95.
Heathers? No, 89.
No. Yeah, I think this came out in 1987, the year I was born. That's why I understand it so well.
Yeah, but with Heathers coming out in 89, I feel like it's okay, at least 89, if not 90. So that way you feel like it kind of straddles those two decades. So you can get a little bit of the 90s vibe in there too.
Yeah.
You?
I mean, I would have guessed based on style and all of that stuff that this was like probably 93, 92, but the music made me feel like this was clearly like more like 86. That was like all the music choices, and one of them obviously "Don't You Forget About Me," which was played here in the intro to the song. Like that is from The Breakfast Club. That's like when that song became famous. Yeah. And a lot of the songs like "Take on Me" and others, like those are, you know, Dokken, Dream Warriors, like which was a great cover. What like a great little like nugget to throw in for us, because like that was like not at all necessary. Like, but just like, let's just take Dokken of all the bands. It's not a cover of "Kickstart My Heart" or "Something to Believe In." It's Dokken.
I hate to say this, but I think Ben Bateman is right. I think the closest to correct, 92, a bunch of people are saying it was. Well, no, you're the closest in the 90s. I was like, no, it's the 80s. But apparently a lot of people are saying it's 92.
Well, Smells Like Teen Spirit, I believe, is 92 because Bleach, I think, is 89, which is the first Nirvana album. And I think that comment early is supposed to set the tone, plus also the flannel around her waist leads you to believe that this is supposed to be the 90s. Also, just logically, if you think about it, like they're all supposed to be high school, and it's like 07-ish.
They were all the same. The parents are apparently all the same age.
2017, which means like if they're all born in 2000, and that would mean that like all of them were teens in the early to mid-90s, right? Like that would mean like if they were 17 in 1993... then they could all have been like reasonably born in like 2000, and it would be like a normal thing.
So then math question, not great at math. So tell me, guys, how freaking old is Charles then? How old does that make Charles? So Alice was pregnant with Charles in, let's, 92. Maybe she had him in 93. And so then circa 2018, 93 to 2018, someone do the math.
It's 26. No, 18 and 7.
Okay.
25.
All right, interesting.
It does actually, I mean, if you're going logically, like on the actual age of these characters, it feels like probably they had kids when they were, 2000. Like that hat, like you figure. And if you were having kids when you were in 2000, let's say you were 20, you're born in 80. I guess.
Well, people are saying the kids were 15 and 16. We're right. Sorry, a couple years off. Whatever.
You're born in 75. Like, so you're 15. Like, in 90. Like, yeah, I think it's like 93 when you're in high school. You're probably having kids. I mean, she's having a kid, 93. But most of them, I think, are having kids when they're more like
1999.
95, 6, 7, 8. Like, they're probably listening to, like, Getting Jiggy With It as they're getting jiggy with it.
Like, maybe like 23.
Yeah, something like that. So.
Well.
Yeah, because I felt like the Heathers reference from Penelope, it seemed far enough away from the release of the film that probably she was the only one that may have seen it.
Is Heathers really? I'm just way off. It's 89?
It is. Came out in Italy in 88 and then domestically in 89.
You already looked it up, huh?
I did.
Look at you.
No, he just knows this.
I'm deep obsessed about the Heathers international and domestic release.
I mean,
release
traditionally, this is something I would know. I can't believe that I misguessed that badly on the show. So.
Touche.
Yeah. Okay. So, I thought that was like one of the most interesting parts of the episode was just the time period. The style and the design is obviously one of the most fun parts of making this episode happen. Mm-hmm. So, trying to kind of place that, and I get it, because I think if I was Sequasa and I was like making this episode. Sequasa, did I say that right?
Sequasa?
Sorry.
What the heck is Sequasa? Oh,
Roberto? Roberto.
Oh, Roberto. I just call him Roberto.
Nobody knows his last name. I just said it wrong. No one can correct me. Okay. I don't feel so bad. If I was him and I was like coming up with this episode, it would be like, all right, I want this to basically be in the 90s because that's realistic, but like I want this to be the 80s because like...
Because he's more familiar, probably.
It's also way more fun. Like the 90s are okay, I guess. Like grunge and stuff, but like... really, I don't want to listen to Mr. Big. I want to listen to like Aha. Like that's way better. 80s tracks are the whole design, the dances, the style. It's like just the best.
Well, the new Riverdale logo that they have for this, the retro Riverdale logo, I should say.
Saved by the Bell.
Well, yes. But yes. I also felt like a fun little knockoff. But I felt like if this were the show that I was watching present day or in that time, that logo just, it just does not seem to jive with the episode that we watched. That took
that's what I'm trying to say.
I have something off the wall to say. Shocking, I know. And someone in the chat basically inspired this, Ivan Soto, was maybe the flashback, maybe it was timeless, like the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is. I've always said that this show, it's weird, it's stuck in time. How many times have I said, I'm like, this show seems like it's stuck in time.
Like a 50s almost.
They don't really, there's a lot of parts of the show and Riverdale itself that don't act like the world that they live in, and it seems very removed. So, and I will get into, you know, a little bit later, maybe some of my comparisons to Sabrina, which is on Netflix. And I mean, it's by the same showrunners, everything.
Have you watched it?
I've watched 7 episodes.
So I wanted to ask about Sabrina, because that's like a big piece of news for us. I mean, like, I haven't watched any of it, Frank.
No, I haven't watched any of it either.
Yeah, I mean, they won't admit that it's they're tied, but then they do and they don't. I've interviewed the showrunners, the cast. They're keeping it under wraps, and I don't think anyone knows what the hell they're doing, and just hoping it all connects, maybe.
But you like it?
I do like it. I like Riverdale better. That's my personal opinion.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, I think the time period is an interesting one. Guys, I want to remind everybody here, please check us out on iTunes. We are obviously on YouTube. You're probably watching us live or streaming. Maybe you're finding this on YouTube later. But we also have an audio podcast version of what we're doing. You can go download it on iTunes Music. You can find it on all of your download places, locations, what have you. And honestly, guys, if you help us out by giving us a rating or a review, preferably a good one, but, you know, any rating or review, it helps us stay high in the standings. And that's like literally how we do this show. It's how we continue to bring you the content we do. So please check that out. Give us that, you know, rating review. We will find a way to share your thoughts, your comments, your iTunes comments on the show if you do that. So thank you for listening to Riverdale here on AfterBuzz TV.
And I will just throw in there, I was bored the other day and just looked at all of our reviews on iTunes, and I read all of your guys' reviews over the past 2.5 years, and they were so sweet.
No.
And I loved them. So please keep them coming, because I will read them, and all of us will.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. okay, so getting back to the show really quickly, I want to talk about present day and kind of what's going on there. And so how this story and these deaths and the murders and the, you know, concealing all these murders, how does that relate to our modern day? Because, like, basically Alice is like, Betty, you're playing Griffins and Gargoyles. Don't. Here's the reason. I don't want to get too far into predictions yet, because I feel like that's coming soon. But, like, is this a lasting plot line? Like,
I don't trust Alice. I think Alice has the best intentions, and she doesn't necessarily execute them correctly. So I think that she lies. And I think that she isn't telling the complete truth about everything that we saw, and we're kind of going to be debunked at some point. Let's not forget about the farm that is somehow still a part of this.
Right.
Don't really understand why. And she's on the farm side right now. Alice is. So I'm not sure. I think that we saw caricatures of them from the past that maybe weren't like necessarily accurate.
If you were talking to me about season 1 or season 2, Alice, I would be more prone to agree with that. But, you know, for better or for worse, I mean, the farm definitely has its drawbacks as well. But you've seen Alice at least be in a little bit more of a rational, less, changing the facts to suit her needs. Kind of since she's been through that. So I am more willing to buy what Alice said is pretty much the truth. There might be some things that we might find out later, especially what happened with Featherhead or whatever his name was.
Featherhead, yeah.
Yes. That, you know, of course, going to fill in the blanks because Alice doesn't know exactly what happened after she left.
There's something I also kind of want to touch on is the comparisons of the relationships in the past versus the present, because we had Hermione and FP at one point. Do we think these things are actually going to mirror themselves? Like Hermione and FP? Did we ever know that they had a relationship? Am I not remembering?
No, but it wasn't a relationship. They like kissed once or something. Like, because like they switched from that pretty fast. I think that's just supposed to suggest the idea that if they ever did, like if they wanted to go there, and I don't know that they necessarily will, but if they ever wanted to go there, it would be predictable and okay. There's 4 main characters in this show, so they're going to swap partners at some point. Like, that's just the nature of
TV. Apparently there's 10. what I counted tonight. I was like, whoa, it's everyone we've ever met. But they're in two sides.
Right.
I don't know. Very fascinating. But also in the chat, let's see, someone said Alice is an unreliable narrator, which I think is the perfect thing to say about her.
I think you're dead right. And also, like, with this episode, you mentioned this earlier, but with how crazy she's been and, like, the burning of the babies and all that, like, do you really think this is a true story, or is this just a story that suits her needs? I mean, honestly, like, I mean, do you think that any of this is – how much of the story she just told do you think is accurate?
I think a large portion of it is. I mean, she seemed to be pretty candid with some stuff that I feel like Alice of old may have been would have held back from telling Betty a lot of stuff. Like, I'll tell you some of the things, but I'm not going to tell you everything.
Everything, yeah.
But I feel like she opened up a lot about I mean, it's still – I feel like – and this will go more towards predictions, but I feel like the farm is going to be a back half of the season thing and not so much of a Gargoyle King thing. So,
who was the most guilty? Like, of – like, because – as Riverdale loves to do, they suggested a bunch of possibles and didn't answer any of them. Who is, like, the guilty party from the old Gargoyle days? Like, do we think that there's any chance that one of these adults, other than, of course, you know, Lachlan Monroe's character, Hal, actually is guilty and has just, like, lived without getting caught? Do you think the writers even know?
Have we ever met Reggie's dad? Because we were supposed to see a version of Reggie's father, is what I'm assuming.
We saw handsome Reggie's father running around, but we didn't. I don't think we ever heard his name, right?
But have we ever actually seen him as a grown man?
He said in the episode, I can't remember.
No, I don't think as an adult we've ever met him.
No, not as an adult, no.
Yeah, well, I don't trust him, whoever he is. And, of course, Hiram. I always thought that Hiram came from a different school. What was it? There was some kind of backstory about a private school, something. I remember he said he went there for a few years. I think Hiram might have left Riverdale High to go somewhere better.
How'd you guys like Mark Consuelos' son?
He wasn't in there enough for me to...
He had like four lines.
Yeah, to really be blown away by it. So, I mean, yeah.
Fair.
I mean, it definitely has that kind of young Mark Consuelos look, so you can see why it was a fun idea for the producers to cast this.
It's a bit of like an Eric Trump look to him, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God! Wow.
kind of similar, but not totally the same. Could be his own guy. We don't know, but he's handsome. He's got slick back hair.
You
know,
wait. You're talking about Little Hiram?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Did I just get really? I offended somebody.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I'm gonna get some tweets about this.
I do feel though that Alice is at the end, as she's kind of summing up the story and warning Betty about this game.
Yeah.
I feel like she was really exaggerating the threat of the menace. I'm like,
Alice, right. Betty isn't five, and she's not gonna be like, the boogeyman's gonna get you when you go to sleep, and Betty's gonna be scared. Ivan Soto again, genius in the chat, says Samantha. You can call me Sam. Whenever someone tells a story, it's almost always unreliable, whether they mean to or not. And that's a very interesting form of storytelling, I think.
Before we get to the back half of our show, so, you know, MVPs of the show, predictions, things of that nature, news, I do want to talk quickly about the fact that Jughead was found at the end wanting to ascend. Do we think – what's going to get Jughead out of this? Like, what's – how do you guys feel about that? He's fully invested in this game.
We don't know that.
Yeah, well, I think it all depends on how what we see there is a great cliffhanger to end an episode on, but it really is going to rely on the next episode to kind of lay that foundation about to probably back up time a little bit to show how Jughead got sucked in so quickly into this game. If they land that, then I might buy into it.
How do we know he was sucked in quickly? We literally saw one small clip and he's like, I'm going to ascend the next level. He could easily say when that ended, so I can see what the hell is going on here and I'm almost there and... Yeah, maybe he'll get sucked in, but I think it was one of Riverdale's typical tricks.
Okay, sure.
You know, one of those things.
Well, yeah. It's definitely the production, yeah, really trying to sell that because they do the weird camera angle as you're saying that. They kind of Dutch in and spin. So, I mean, they're trying to set it up as if he's going bonkers.
Bit more of a to-be-continued situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, guys, next segment on the show, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about MVPs of the class clowns. Who stole the scenes in this show? Who stole the scene in the episode? Like, the best moment, best person? What do you got?
You know, I really enjoyed Penelope this episode. Okay. Only because we've only really known her as more of just a nemesis for Cheryl as an adult. But to see a little bit more of her tragic upbringing and her involvement, I was like, all right, I was digging Penelope this episode.
The braces were stellar. I agree.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, for the one time we saw them.
Who's your class clown?
You know, Fred. You know, it's
Fred.
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping for some prime Luke Perry-ness coming through on this, and I'd read articles that were saying like he really channels Luke Perry.
I thought he really did. Did you?
Other than the hair did some heavy lifting. But
he was my Radiant Knight.
Yeah, the Burns. No, you're my Radiant Knight. Radiant Knight.
Okay. The Burns. This is getting serious. This is getting serious.
The Burns didn't deliver as much as I wanted to. Gotcha. for peak, peak Dylan McKay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. Sam, what you got?
God, okay, so.
She's got nothing. She can't compete.
This is not true at all. I am just live or die Lily Reinhart. I think she's so freaking good. And again, Alice in this episode, young Alice, was fantastic. And she did such a good job of kind of changing herself, but not really. I also really enjoyed Fred. And I'm on your side, Ben. I got how he turned into that. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of like family connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as far as Class Clown, I think I would say, I don't know, it's someone on that other side in the flashback that was on Kevin's dad's side.
Hmm.
Who we need to figure out who all of those fathers were on that side, because we had Reggie's dad, we had Kevin's dad, and then Dilton Doiley's dad. Hmm. No, yeah. He wasn't cool.
No, but he was in there.
Yeah, he was in there.
Was he in there?
Yeah, he was in there. It was Tom, it was Reggie's dad, it was Hiram, and then it was Dilton's
Hiram.
Dad.
Sorry, Hiram's a class clown. Mm. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Fair.
No apologies.
You, Ben?
I think I got to say my class clown is Jughead as FP. I didn't buy him.
I thought he was so hot.
He was hot, but I didn't buy him as a ladies' man. I bought him as like he felt like he was Cole Sprouse playing the part of trying to be like a tough guy in high school, whereas like he just didn't – I can't see him that way.
Dylan – Sprouse. He just came in. And
yeah, you think Dylan may. I mean, I love the kid. I think he does a great job. When I watched him in this episode, I was like, I don't know. That doesn't seem right. He seems like even when he's like running with his shirt off with Archie, it's like, yeah, okay, jacked heartthrob. It's like a little skinny kid. Like, I don't know. Whatever. He was fine, but he just, I would give him class clown because I think he didn't fit the role quite as well. On the flip side of things, I think probably my favorite, I'm going to go with you, it's Penelope. I loved Maddie Pesch as Penelope. I thought she was great. I thought the braces were terrific. I loved the glasses. It was like a really fun flesh out of the character, and also her moment where she's, you know, kind of into Cheryl and to Sierra. I love that. I love that they're kind of setting the table for that, and they don't show us anything, but they kind of show that she maybe from the very beginning has the, you know, similarities to her daughter.
Shout out to Trevor Stein, you know?
Yeah.
He was back, still doesn't speak.
I'll give him, you know, actually, I'll give Trev my,
he is
my MVP. He's my homecoming king in this episode, because to show back up in season 3 without a line, like, I'm just like, man, you're the guy. Stay on the show without ever speaking.
Trev is just like, when is someone going to bring me back from the dead? I'm just fucking waiting, in this Sweetwater River to just be resurrected, so.
100%.
But let's just take a moment to celebrate Cole Sprouse on this, because he's not the go-to guy for a shirtless scene.
No, he's not.
But boom,
he looked good,
him,
though.
And yeah, KJ, you know.
He's no KJ. Yeah. Who is?
No, I mean, that was.
Who is?
If you say he's no Ben Bateman, Frank, I'm going to be scared for Ben here.
No. Let's move on from that joke before it even happens. I want to do a quick ad for Game Lad. It's the bet. No, I'm just kidding. That's our MVPs. I want to get into news from the show. Sam's got like a sweet piece of news here.
Well, please make the camera locked in on Ben, because I want to see the real time reaction.
I know that everybody knows this besides Ben Bateman. That's actually the truth. So a lot of different places have reported today that Kelly Ripa, who is Mark Consuelos' wife? Who doesn't know Kelly Ripa? Everyone knows Mark Consuelos. Basically, because of Kelly Ripa, okay? And she is going to be playing a role on the show.
Wow.
Everyone's looked at Ben's face. Are you ready for this?
I love Kelly Ripa.
Listen. As Hiram's mistress.
Oh, I'm so in.
I knew he would be so excited.
I love Kelly Ripa. This is great. This is a great decision. I feel like this is going to add so much depth to the show.
I mean, definitely some chemistry there, you know, those two. But it's very exciting. And also, I just need to, you know, give a shout out to Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Or it's not Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I apologize. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. there's references, there's a lot of crossover stuff. I feel like I should do a YouTube video about it at
you
some
should.
Point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just like thinking, because there's a lot of stuff they're doing, trying to sneak by us, but it's not sneaking by me. I see you, I hear you, and I still believe the show is supernatural, so there it is.
Excellent, fantastic, I can't wait.
I think it's a fun casting choice, but I also feel like that storyline is going to be like the C part of an episode, and so we're going to see Kelly Ripa maximum three scenes.
How old's Kelly Ripa?
I mean, I think she's a lot older than she is.
She is timeless,
yeah,
Ben Bateman.
She's just pretty, you know.
She really carries herself well.
I think she'll probably die, but I'm excited to see her on the show. Not Kelly Ripa.
The character in the show.
God forbid. Hiram's mistress.
Should have seen my look on my face
we'll
there.
See her go. He was like, how dare you? Yes. No. But it's not exciting, Ben. Chew on that.
If Michael Strahan gets the next cameo in the show, then I'm in.
He's dead. He's dead.
Yeah, 100%. Michael Strahan. He would be, if they were just going with like similar look to characters in the show, would he be Chuck Clayton's dad? Is that what they would give
oh,
him?
There you go.
Oh, hell yeah.
Would he? But Chuck Clayton wouldn't have the gap in his teeth like Strahan. And Strahan's gap in his teeth is his most distinctive characteristic.
It's called braces.
Well, no, Strahan will never touch braces.
No.
That is literally his defining
why
character.
Chuck doesn't have them.
That's like Freddie Mercury's teeth. Like it's the same way that I've always said that Anthony Anderson and Michael Strahan need to have like a father-son movie made because they have like the similar kind of look. Anyway, all right. I'm going to keep moving. So the last but not least is I want to give a couple quick fan shout-outs, people in the chat, people who have been talking to us throughout the episode. Ivan Soto, we've already given a shout-out to, but anybody else?
Yes, so many. Okay, we love you guys so much. Billie Jean Girl 24. Derek Hogan, Ghost 8386, always alive. You're always there. Jasmine Jones, Nella J, Dream to Aspire, Mercury X84, and Fina Juliana. You guys are amazing. There's so many of you. We appreciate it so much. And we know a lot of you are up so late right now, and it warms our cold hearts that you're waiting up to just hear us talk about
so
Riverdale.
Cool. That's true. So cool. So, all right, guys, I want to... Oh, here we go. We have some more current reviews. I want to read a current review. Looks like we've got one. Okay, just started... let's see. Let's make sure. Just started watching this show and read the comics in late 2017. Just watched season 2 and ready for season 3 in 2018 of October. This is before our season. Can't wait. I'll give the podcast thing a shot, but it's good if it's a celeb source company. AfterBuzz is cool. All right. I want to give a quick shout out.
No, that's, there you go. A well-researched, thoughtful review there.
Yeah, yeah. We one of our favorite shows by Crystal Noel G. I love the passion of the panel is about the show. Excellent. I love it. So thank you guys so much for commenting and giving us your thoughts on Riverdale on AfterBuzz TV here. So, all right. Last but not least, we have to talk about predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Before I give my prediction, I just want to say, at this point in the season, compared to last season with the Black Hood, how confident do you feel the producers know what they're doing this season as compared to last?
Very little.
Okay. Sam?
I feel like they have more of a purpose, but they still aren't sure. But they know they're like, this is going to, whatever we do, it's important and it's going to stick. People love this show. Now that they know, I think they are taking it in a direction, but they're going to be committed to it.
I still am worried. I feel like the season so far is structured a little bit better. I still am very worried about this. So, but I'm going to go still with. I feel like I got to repeat my prediction because this was so flashback heavy. So it was tough to really. We didn't really have any really new information.
Flash forward heavy.
Yeah. So I'm still going to say that Griffins and Gargoyles is going to be separate and distinct from the farm, and we'll kind of resolve this by midseason. And the farm will be coming up as a main protagonist in the back half of the season. That's
protagonist or antagonist?
Antagonist, sorry.
Antagonist. Okay, so I think that the relationships that we saw develop in this flashback episode were new to a lot of us. I mean, we didn't really know that Sheriff Keller and...
Sierra?
Sierra.
Yeah, right.
Had this crazy past. So we will
really?
See...
We saw them together earlier.
Well, obviously we did, but we didn't know that they had a past from in high school, that they were actually
okay,
in
yeah.
love and like couldn't be together because, you know, of just basically the way the world was at that time. And so I think that they might be a lot better people and might actually save the day like they initially had tried to as being sheriff and mayor. Because we always were like, what are those two up to? But I think actually, I have the TV chills, which means it's going to happen. Secondly, I think they're opening up some weird kind of sexual tension between Veronica and Jughead. And I do.
What?
Okay.
Yep, right. From the flashback. And also, they gave us a Barchi scene. But it wasn't a Barchi scene. Right. But it was a Barchi scene.
It was. It
was just teasing us that, you know, they might be kind of endgame.
I'm going to jump on that point and say that I think that I have been guessing Barchi from the beginning. I really believe that's where the show is going. And I think that scene you're talking about is the ultimate tease there. I mean, I think I don't really believe that Jughead and Hermione, that's not like a long-term thing. I think that's like something they might give us a second of modern day if a story takes us there. If we get to six seasons, we'll get it for sure.
Yeah.
But I do really believe that Betty and Archie, that's going to be where the show ends up. Like it's just, I can't believe or imagine that there's a scenario where that's not what happens. I also thought like there was nothing at all about Moose and Kevin and like teasing that. Like the only thing we got was that like Kevin was basically in the closet. Well, not Kevin, but Kevin's dad was with Sierra, but they didn't find any way to use that. And I think that's interesting because I really believe that's going to be a more important storyline.
You think Kevin's dad was in the closet?
No. I'm saying like all of the characters in this episode basically mirrored their parents.
Right.
Right. Like they were almost like carbon copies in a lot of ways. And we got Kevin, but it was as his dad and he was with Sierra. Like there was none of what actual Kevin, the character of Kevin we've seen on the show actually is. And so I thought that was a little bit of a miss. It's not really a prediction. I my biggest prediction is definitely Barchi. That's why.
What about Fralis?
Fralis?
No.
Are we doing three sons now?
I was like, Fred and Alice.
No, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, Fralis is FP and Alice. So Fralis, I get it. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
One last thing, though, is that the devil worship things with Sabrina, again, there were a lot. Sabrina, people are. One of the biggest qualms about Sabrina is that there's a lot of Hail Satan in it. Hail Satan! And everyone's like, what the hell? There was some of that in this that carries over. Want you guys to pay attention. Go watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix.
Terrific.
Let me know what you think.
All right. Excellent, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. As always, you are the best. We are so excited to bring you this content every single week on AfterBuzz TV. Be sure to leave your comments below on YouTube. Comment, like, subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes. And, of course, you can follow us on social. Frank, where can the folks find you?
Twitter and Instagram. Happy Go Jackie.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I love you so much, and I will read all of your tweets.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter and Instagram, and I am every single Thursday on Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network at 2 p.m. See you guys this Thursday. Thank you so much for listening and watching. We'll be back same time, same place next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.